Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Caitlin Patterson, Midwest Muscle P4P, Real Talk in the House. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in all of the world. And if you, yes you, are a drug-free athlete and possibly, looking to get healthy and stuff in a good way, and looking for a vehicle to drive your goals, like a Mack truck, blue ice cream, with lots of snickerdoodle, and maybe a sprinkle of chocolate lace, just maybe. You know, what do you do with it? I don't know. But anyway, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now let's chit-chat with Amanda. Hello, 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 everyone. It's one of those days. And, life is happening around us, and then life is happening to us. And then there's just that time where we wonder if life is really happening because things happen and change our whole day, change our whole life, and change everything about it. So this is one of those days, just the best way to say it. And my heart goes out to my PIC, Desiree. She's got a lot of things going on. And there's a lot of things happening in her life. And, you know, sadly, she has lost a family member. And it's just, it's one of those things where it's going to happen. And sadly, sometime in life, it's going to happen to us or to someone we know and love. And this is one of those times and situations. My heart goes out to her, of course. I mean, I've known Desiree for many years. It's not like we're just radio show host and all the other thing. Life is happening, and it was happening long before we met each other years ago. And she's a genuine and she's very real a woman, a loving mother. And when you have family members that are taken away, especially being a mother herself, you know, there's a lot of pain involved for everyone who's involved. And then there's also a lot of time to look back and reflect, because those memories are staying with us until we actually decide. So, just say some prayers for us, please. And for those of you who know how, really get the prayer words out there and get a prayer in for it. We have a great show still, but, I just wanted to get that out of the way, because it's been something that's been on my, I wouldn't say plaguing my brain, but been on my brain all day. You still want to have a good show. You still want to have the guests feel more than welcome. But we have to, we have to speak the truth. This is real talk. So we've done that. And hopefully, we can move on as best we can. But we do have a great guest. And I'd like him to introduce himself now. So please, sir, let's get this show started.
Good morning, KP. How are you?
I'm doing as best as I could, brother. But it's just one of those days, and I'm sure you felt what I'm feeling. For someone you've been supporting for a lot of years, and you hate to see bad happen to anyone that you know and care for, and this is just one of those days. How are you doing, there, brother?
Yes, not too bad. I think it's times like these, and I work in palliative care as well. It's good that you. You have family and friends and support and loved ones. Loved ones don't just mean, your direct heart, like your family and that, but your great friends, your great colleagues that can help you and your family through these type of things. It's when we as a community of friends, of knowing each other, can share and can support, and it's about life. And unfortunately, these things do happen, but it's a good time for us to, step up to the plate and say thank you to those that need the thank you and the love and and the warm wishes and the best of lucks and all these type of things at this time, and to really show up that value that we have as humans to care and be compassionate for each other.
Yes, and it really brings a sense of reality to all the people who choose to to hate and be angry, because this is the end result of those things. It's been a lot of back and forth about, anger and frustration. And if it's a constant barrage and that's what you're tuning into, And this is one of the results. And I remember, I'm a big history buff. I've always said this many times. And one of the things that Malcolm X was really chastised for, and it was one of the truer statements that he made, and it wasn't said with any angst or frustration, but because of the time it happened, they didn't really take kindly to it. And that's when John F. Kennedy had been assassinated, and he looked around, you know, with the media, and, you know, he's looking at everyone in the, at the time, holding microphones to him. And he said, well, you know what you're saying, the things you're saying about civil rights, and you're teaching what you're teaching with civil rights, and what you're focusing on instead of what you should have been focusing on. This is basically the chickens coming home to roost. And it was a lot of anger in that statement, and people were very, very frustrated. But he didn't say it or mean it that way, but that's definitely how they publicized it. And he suddenly had become public enemy number one. I hope I'm not chastised for this, because I've seen, you know, hate in a wartime environment. I've seen anger and frustration here at home. And each and every time, it's not successful. It's not very well planned out. It's just creatively worded or narrated. And then suddenly you have incidents like this where the fallout is suddenly hitting home. And many people now say, you know, we have to do something. And I'm saying 5 years ago something needed to be done, because it's not like this is happening overnight. And it's not like it's going to end overnight. This is something we walked into, and definitely we're going to have to walk out in a much more kindly, friendly, and more peaceful manner. So basically, you know, other people aren't dying for any other reason than an angry individual that has a gun or whatever weapon they decide to use, their weapon of choice. This does segue into our topic of good food, good diet, and good nutrition, because believe it or not, food does play with your mind, whether you understand it or not. And I'm sure you've seen the ins and outs, especially with, you know, how passionate you are with nutrition, and how some of the things that we do with our diet can basically make us happier people in the process. So, you know, let's talk about that, and we'll get the show started from that angle and get the show rolling.
Yeah, I think there's a key thing about everything that you've just said as well, Helen, is that, which is so correct, is that we as individuals, we have the freedom of choice. We have the freedom to express ourselves. Sometimes we do that in a little bit of a frustrated way, etc. But it can be our mindset, and that's not saying it's a bad thing. But there's always two sides to a coin. We went out the other night and had to wait an awful long time to get our food. It upset one of the party members. But you know what? From my point of view, I actually like going out. I like the relaxing. I was hungry, but I could wait. I could see they were busy.
Mm-hmm.
So one of us was frustrated and one of us was enjoying it. And I think that we are, you know, biologically and physically and mentally at times different. And this is nature. It's how we, you know, how we take these things on board and what we do with them. I have a lot of people that come to me and they're, number one, Kellen, they want to open up. They want to say what's in their lives, what's troubling them. They do get emotional. But this is so important to let out. And then they say, I can't do this, I can't do that. But it's finding the things that you can do. But most importantly, it's giving yourself the time for yourself, for your own betterment, for your own feelings. We are different as people. What you may like, I may not like. But I can appreciate what you like and how you do it and how you go about it, even though it's not my thing. So I think the ability to realize that we can make our own choices. We do live in a society where, yes, we have to be mindful of others. But we have to look after ourselves as well, because when people want our support, they want us to be strong. So the more we prepare ourselves to be as strong as possible, helps everybody in our community, but especially ourselves, our own health. We can't help if we're falling down or have ailments or whatever. So I think it's good that, you know, we look at people that they are different. No one person is the same. We might have some biological traits that we can discuss in a bit that are similar, how we've developed, how we are, but our environment, our cultures, how we feel, are all things that go towards our health. Now, nutritionists, I probably like to say the thing lifestyle, because we all go through stages where we're trying to get somewhere, but it's stepping stone.
Mm-hmm.
And we should never think to ourselves, because we're not fully there, we've failed. We should plan, decide, identify things that are achievable for us in our lifestyle, and we should be able to encourage ourselves, reward ourselves for making even the smallest steps. You may have one person
yeah.
has five challenges and they get five right. Another person has two challenges and gets two right. They both equal 100% in my eyes. You're moving
yeah.
yourself forward to a goal or a destination that is thrilling, exciting, empowering you. Because at times, as we know, I talk about people that they should eat until they're satisfied. And then they get a sweet craving. It's like two messages. But you know that you've eaten enough. Your body has told you through a feeling that I've eaten enough. These sweet cravings, like a gremlin in our body saying, come on, you know you like it, take it. It is what it is. It's a gremlin. It's the other side of the coin. But empowering ourselves,
right.
believing in ourselves, and setting goals or changes, let's say. Some people like the word challenges. Some people don't. is just taking things at a step at a time and realizing what's truly you need to act at the moment, what is going to give you the best return, and how to do that. And but just to respect in our community that people are biologically different. We have the three genes, for instance, like we're adults, or let's say predominantly adults talking on this thing, and we're fully developed, let's say, structurally framework. But from embryology all the way through, we've had, you know, genes given to us naturally that make us like, dislike, appreciate, not appreciate certain things. Like I'm an ecto, I can't stand drafts. Okay, I can't stand air conditioning. Most of my ecto friends are also the same. So what my point is that we are built differently so that we can do actually different challenges and complement as a group. You have better planners, better executors than other people. So together we can harmonize if we appreciate the strengths, the likes that we have in our community between all of us as different people.
When we talk about diet and we talk about good health, I can't speak for Australia because I've only visited it a couple of times, and I was basically down there for basketball tournaments when I played overseas. But there's a reality here about, you know, health that's not really real. And, like, here, health is taken for granted. And, like, it's assumed that you're going to be healthy until you get sick, and people don't really make the connection that that buildup of sickness in your body is also affecting your attitude. And I know this is a little twist on what we were going to be talking about, but I know food makes a difference. You know, like you said, if you're eating crappy food, you're not going to be feeling your best. You're not going to be wanting to do much because your body's basically fighting itself to try and find some nutrition in what you consume. So that sweet craving, even though it might make you feel good eating it, it can turn 180 real quick when regret starts to come in, plus the crap that's in the food itself. And then you're going outside not very happy mentally or physically. And how can that play a role in, you know, basically upsetting a good day or taking it from a semi-positive day to one that becomes kind of destructive? Because your own mind and body are turning against you.
I think, again, it comes back to, yes, you're right. But just to add about you saying about Australia, and I have more clients, KP, especially in the bodybuilding industry in America than I do in Australia. So I'm very, very close. And a lot of professional colleagues that I liaise with often in America who are practitioners. So I understand your market because it's my, I like to, the same as I understand the UK market, the Russian market, but not so much. But I mean, multiple, with this day of computers and ability to communicate, the world has become a lot smaller. But I think the thing is here is we use one word, feeling. we don't listen to our bodies, or we take note of what we're saying and we don't do anything about it. E.g., oh, that made me feel bad, you know, or you might be out of time and you pull into that to exactly the same takeaway place again because it's convenience, or you just don't have time, you're buggered, you know, you haven't got time to cook, but you get the same response again. And we live in a world where we're reactive. Let's face it, it's not Western medicine's fault as such, because there's some good things in there, but we're a preventative world where you get the illness and then we cure it. 9 times out of 10, we mask the illness, e.g. we don't cure the root problem.
Amen.
Okay, where some other medicines, that we call them alternative, but like, for instance, food, I mean, people have been saying for centuries, use food as thy medicine. It's because it hasn't come into the Western culture where we've done the placebo analysis, which are very, very good. I think there's some great things in Western medicine, great principles, great administration and control, but they haven't fallen into this thing yet. It doesn't make them right or wrong. And the simple fact is that food, that our environment, that our relationships, they all make us feel something in our bodies. Yeah, they all give a response or a reaction to us that clicks our biological liking, disliking. And it's really coming back to just sitting down and giving ourselves, even if it's a couple of minutes a day, for ourselves. You know, we pray to the Lord for the Lord's assistance. But sometimes the Lord says, yes, but you've got to assist yourself.
Yes.
You have the power.
You still have work to do, yes.
Yes, you need to talk. Yes, you need to expose and to share sometimes, or to get input or influences, but you're trying to find those things that make you tick and encourage you to do something or feel worthwhile. Again, you know, I'm quite introverted, so I look at, but I'm extroverted at times as well because my job expects that of me and I'm very comfortable with it. But some people will think of themselves, others, you get like your body type, you're very community minded, so you might put yourself down the run, KP. You might look after somebody else before you look after yourself. And this is the type of realization that you need to step back and to look after yourself so that you can continue to do those things that you love, which is helping others. And once you do that, don't people come to you? They physically put more emotional, more stress pressure on you, so the stronger you have to be. But it's growing as that person. It's being able to give and to keep doing the things that you like to do, like going to the gym. You go in, your focus is that I need to disturb or put a sensation to my muscle that is not normal, so it has to think and repair itself. You know, it's like us, we learn all the time, but we don't take time to necessarily, you know, give ourselves time to really feel things, you know, to prioritize things. And sometimes we can't, you know, I speak to a lot of people about chronobiological, which is basically, to explain it in short terms, is the activity of our body and how we're biologically structured as to what actions and that suit us better during the day, like when we eat, when's the best time to do physical things and like that. And biology isn't wrong if we don't do it. It's just our lifestyles have changed the way that we have to react or that we're forced to react, but to remember that these are within our choices. I've had some people who have given their jobs up due to their health.
Yes.
I've had some people that won't give up their job because they love their job so much. So it's a case of not saying, okay, you're going to fail. It's a case of trying to work through this. You know, trying to still get that time where you can give something back to yourself. It's also a case of understanding your body, so how it's best going to perform. What's the best time of day to train? Why is it the best time of day to train? Because your body is more alert, more focused, more reactive. Your performance is up at this. Your body's there to work for you. So if you work with it, it's going to return a little bit betterment. An ectomorph training first thing in the morning versus the afternoon, there is a complete difference. I stat this with all of my people. There's a 25% difference in performance output. And I don't mean performance output
as in how much you can do, that is higher as well. But also the return on investment of your time and placement of your activities gives a much better result in muscle, in lean mass, whichever the focus is. It's just a very high performance window for a lot of people. And knowing the best time and why to eat, to sleep, what to do when you wake up is very important. And I think that people, when they sit down, and we go through it possibly in a little while, KP, is I don't do that, but I can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
That feels some connection to that. Yes. Well, some people at the time say no, because they see the brick wall that it may do. Like, I can only train at 6:30 in the morning, and you're telling me it's not the ideal time, but I can't change. And then they get a day off and they go and train at that time and they say, you know what, I did feel better. Now I might look at how I can change things so I can maybe do that or get family support that gives me the hour and a half to go to the gym at that point in time. Or yes,
exactly.
I have changed my, and I do feel a lot better. So it's not, our biology is quite our human biology, how we work, how we cellularly work, how we, you know, need energy during the day, what's the difference between night and day, what chemicals do we produce in the day versus the night. They're very clear and structured. It's just a harmonious state in there, and it takes for us to, one, get the information on our body, and two, give ourselves time to work with it.
Very true. One of the things that, you know, especially with concern for food and diet is, you know, I know people don't really understand it. Sometimes I say stuff and it's like groundbreaking to the people I'm speaking with. And I remember when, you know, all these food allergies were coming out. And one of the things that I learned, you know, much to my surprise, is a lot of it wasn't really a food allergy, but just the stuff that was being used to make the food. Glyphosate was one of them. The Monsanto, the Roundup stuff that they were using, a lot of the GMOs were really harmful to some people's body, especially the ones that were coming from basically farm-raised, having their own garden kind of situations and moving to the city, and then their diets change. And then another one was basically the food that was contaminated coming from overseas, that was basically not being checked as the FDA is required. So when they were learning about that and basically just changed up where they were getting their food from, because, you know, I always strongly recommend the farmer's market simply because it's not tampered with, because it doesn't have to travel far. You're basically getting food from your environment, literally from the soil that you interact with a lot, as compared to not, you know, who knows whatever. Because like you said, if we're just masking, I don't want an aspirin to mask the reaction to the food that I shouldn't be eating. It should be some kind of alarm and alert that something's wrong with my body and it needs to be addressed. And I, like I said, in this country, I know that's not really as big a deal. As long as you get something in with these numbers, then you're going to be pretty close to your goal weight, instead of basically addressing your body like you're saying, where well, you are more philosophical, because it's your body. I can't believe that we don't have a stronger drive in this great nation to be healthier individuals and have more healthy people walking the streets, instead of basically, you know, running to the next pharmacy gimmick or whatever's being paraded on the infomercials and thinking that's going to suffice to get you back to some sense of health or pain-free days. Because, you know, I'm not upset with pain or pain receptors, because they're telling me that I'm usually doing something wrong. And there are some foods that we have that can bring out the small alarms and alerts, but because they're not basically prescription-based or dosed to deal with the pain, we kind of just work through it, sometimes like an injury in the gym. How can we go about doing more for self-care for our health care? And that's not a play on words.
I think, KP, the one thing that everybody should be well aware of is that, God rest their souls, that I would use the word not just food service, but also food scientists, such as those people who were genetically modified wheat and grain and all this. They did not, and they do not operate their scope of work based on the nutritional value of the product they're dealing with. In fact, they worsen it because they have no consideration for it. It's about yield. It's about withstanding the environment. It's about shelf life. And it's about putting in known chemical compounds that call themselves proteins, call themselves starches, but they are not accepted by the body. They are not natural sources for our body. So where we're wrong throughout the world, not just America, sir, is that we haven't given a shit about our food. In the scientific development side of things, we have gluten allergies. It's not gluten. It's half the crap you put in there. I've been through bakeries, industry bakeries. There's over 40 additional things that are unnatural put into a loaf every slice of bread nowadays. And they say, oh, it's not like it used to be. It's not nutrition. No, it's causing us a problem. And it was scientifically made a problem because we didn't care about the health or the reaction it was on the consumer. So the point would be the least amount of processed food you can eat in your life is far better for you because the risk is too high with it. Clogged arteries and all these type of things, salt, high sodium levels, high blood pressure, all these type of things can originate from the food and our environment to which we come in contact with. So fresh grown, high nutrient dense food. Okay, spinach is fantastic for us, but you've got to eat an awful lot of it. But it's good, clean nutrition. These are the things that we can go for. Or we can try to increase the amount of what we know has more betterment for us, so we have the ability to not miss weddings, not miss engagements, because we're basically on a path of, you know, it's like a road of health for ourselves or looking out for ourselves. On the odd now and then we go to fill up. And filling up may be socializing, having the odd glass of champagne or whatever it is for an event, an occasion, and not missing out on things because the following day we step straight back on. So it's not things in moderation. It's really a continual look at ourselves as to what we're eating. And it's about time, as not just as nutritionists or health freaks or health gurus, it's about commonality amongst the community as to what's good for us as a whole. Yes, fried chicken tastes great. But we also know that it's full of saturated fats and things like that that aren't great for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and for me personally...
Go ahead.
And for me personally, there is no, you know, we, as a result of being reactive, we're trying to run around to try and find a single diet that's a cure to every human person, whether it's vegan, ketosis, eating beef. It's just a complete load of rubbish. We're all individual people with an individual mix as we currently sit here today. Another ecto versus me, we can give completely different results due to our food, our environment, our loving nature, you know, everything around us. We're all different. So basically, when it comes to health, there is no one diet that suits all. It is completely false. There is applying food for its composition towards changing the expression of a gene, which at the moment in our world, I basically have 95% of people I'm trying to correct, more than the 5% I keep to prevent, to boost their immune, to keep them in line with themselves, to support their activity levels. Where even using traditional medicine, let's say natural medicine, there's still a bit of, you know, determining the thing that someone's come with an ailment issue. So, but food, your environment will help. And I think the two together are very important. If we're very high in stress, KP, our body doesn't utilize the food as it should. It's using the food to fight the stress, to fight the energy. So it's that balance. It's that lifestyle that we need to look at. Because at the end of the day, we all would like to smile, to be happy, to be able to strong enough to face the times where obstacles, let's say, come in our way. So I don't want it to sound that it's a challenge, but it sometimes can be a challenge for people to feel happy.
Oh, most certainly, yes, especially with the lower wage earners who are doing two and three jobs. One of the things that has always been fascinating to me, and I'm sure, like I said, I know you're very passionate about your business. And there's a lot of times when there is a conviction to speak out, and you've done so many times, but there's also that reservation of how it's going to be received by knowing the person or individual. Because I know there's plenty of people that pride themselves off the work they do, but the destruction from the excessive work is not seen because such pride is put in to the work they do. And God bless them for, you know, putting in these 20 extra hours a week. But there's a price that you have to pay with the damage that we're doing to our bodies, and we're not matching the nutrition that would sustain that kind of abuse. And it is, you know, there is a point where you are abusing your body. Yeah, especially, you know, with us competing, we go that extra mile, and we're going to feel extra sore because of it. How do you relate that nutritionally? How I could relate that source of soreness physically from, you know, overexertion in the gym and poor diet and rest as an after result of not taking care of your body on those factions. You manage, and you've got a very good gift of explaining. How do you explain that to someone who doesn't want the explanation, like, i.e. a client?
Yeah, I think you just give the facts. But the critical thing is we all have a neurological inbuilt device, and you can apply this to body types, how they like, whether they like information, whether they don't, whether something is against their current fact. You have to be professional, but say it in a way that is the facts that allows them to make a choice. Doctors down, say doctors to coaches, we're influencers. But we're not the decision maker, right? You can go to a I work with professionals. You can go to a professional club, and someone will tell the player or the individual, this is what you're doing. If you don't do it, you're off contract. Because there's far much more competition behind you. But even the elite sports people, even when the coach says this, and he says it with his tongue in cheek because he doesn't want to lose you, he just wants to see you change to enhance your performance more often because you're so special to the team. Right? Mm-hmm. It's got to be the person who says, yes, right. So to me, it's a plain, simple giving people alternatives to what they're doing, but to fully understand them a little bit as well, not to keep continually putting up with excuses, KP. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You've got to say, because to me, a conversation is respect. And a coach versus, let's say, athlete point of view, the coach has to give the athlete good information. But the coach is also asking from the athlete, give the coach a bloody chance, because the coach wants to be good as well. He wants a reputation, or she does, as a good coach, meaning she can motivate and get people to do things. So if you have a client that just doesn't want to do anything, I would say to the client, where are we going? Yeah.
Yes.
People would come to me and I'd get them to close their eyes and to look at themselves. Where would you like to be? What is your goals? What is your ambitions? The big smile, the big, you know, like they can see themselves. The tears even come, KP. And then when you talk about things that they're going to do, it's no, 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 no. And as a coach, you have to say, well, where the hell are we going then? Yeah. Go back to your thing. Is this worth it? What are the struggles that you're seeing in your life to prevent this? And when you start to address these type of things, then they start to feel, this bloody person cares. He listened. Yes, he didn't agree, but he listened to me. He's sharing. He's compassionate. He's understanding. But he's also told me, let's make a change. Where shall we change? What do you feel? So that engagement is very, very, very important. I mean, in the bodybuilding world, as there is in a lot of sports nutrition, it's about calories.
Mm-hmm.
From my point of view, when we go to a gym and we damage our muscle, we damage it from a physical stress, fatigue or whatever on our muscle. What repairs our body is our body. So some bodies can have the nutritional intake, but got poor absorption, got bad tummies, got leaky gut, got a bad colon, got this and that, never. Guess what? The food isn't able to work because the body needs, it's the liver and the tummy that, you know, the tummy separates all these amino acids. It's the liver and our systems that actually drive it into the cells that work, that tell us how much we want. So my point is, first of all, the body has to be as healthy as possible to support itself because it's the one that knows the best.
Yes.
And it's the one that has to do the work. So I'm more interested in...
I've got to do a segue
on this. Do you have
the
energy?
I got to do a segue on this one because you brought up something, because this is one of my... I don't have many pet peeves in the gym, but one of them is misinformation. And you just touched on a very good spot for me to jump in. And that's these dang organ smashers people are calling waste trainers. When you're talking about the internal organs trying to do their job, how much are they limited when people are using these when their bodies are being overly exerted?
Using what, sorry, KP?
Those waist trainers, waist bands, whatever the heck they call them, where you squeeze the crap out of your organ and to make it look like you've got a smaller waist. Are you familiar? Go ahead.
Yes, I know what they are. We have, there's quite a big gimmick going around. They said it come from West Germany, but I wouldn't imagine it would come from some clown in West Germany, but the Germans are quite scientific in their sports
yes,
and everything else like that. But we want blood circulation. So, you know, having a pump, right, to try and expose the muscle by trapping blood, let's just think about it. Or shall we just not? Because it's you're physically trapping a flow of blood, so it needs to build up. Now, any kid will tell you, in their, even at their science level, they'll apply pressure even with water, and it builds up. It's not a function of the body to operate like
that's
that.
That's right.
You know, a lot of people, and I do monitor a lot of bodybuilding sites because I'm a learner. I'm quite, and I'm not saying that I criticize because I don't. Right. And also I listen to what the public are generally saying. You know, we have people spending hundreds of dollars on some supplements that our body makes for us. So is the focus not on our body functioning properly, or is it on a function of taking a bloody supplement?
Yes.
You know, this is, you know, but I must jump in and say something here. I am a lover of supplements. Somebody needs, it's a time factor, KP. You don't want people in a negative situation for as long as they can possibly, you know, you want them out as quick as possible. So sometimes, even though food helps, it doesn't, at a volume, it needs to be higher. So you supplement for a period of time to raise that chemical, that profile up in somebody's body so the body can take it and work like hell. Then as it starts to function and create its own enzymes, its own ability to do it, you can lessen those supplements off. Now, that's supplementation for a reason. But to do things like putting bands to get a pump, it's an ego trip. You know, it's not your real muscle. It's not how your muscle... Well, it's your real muscle, but it's not how it performs. You cannot take that on stage with you. So why the hell are you doing it?
Yeah.
It does... You know what I mean? It does not make your muscles... Your muscle is a natural vessel that can expand, yes. And as blood gets in, it's full. And once it's full, well, if you want to do it once to see how much your muscle can and how your cells can operate, sure. But it's not an activity you should do, I believe, all the time. You've got to, you don't detach your body or a body part.
One of the things
you
that
keep
I have
it completely
an issue with
engaged.
On that, the one thing I have an issue with is that the blood pressure. I know there's a lot of people in the gym that don't see their doctors often. And then, you know, so you have the cholesterol, you have the blood pressure, you have the blood flow. There's a lot of factors that are being under addressed by doing that, you know, because I know that we have a guy that uses that belly wrap, and he also uses the blood flow restrictors. And I mean, he came in in pretty poor shape, and then I think you can see where his eye discoloration, you know, the skin tone, his skin complexion, all these things are like immediate red flags. And because, you know, this whatever infomercial or whatever thing he read on some Instagram famous person's thing, and it, you know, he swears, you know, like it's almost gospel. How do you speak to that without destroying their will to basically be in the gym just because the trust and the faith in someone is so broken and crushed if they come to reality of what's going on?
Number one, I don't take much notice of it because I'm very happy that the most of the population don't follow it. I'm very big into bands and balls and things like this that create fatigue or stress on the muscles. Yes, but it's not a restrictive type of thing. It's not affecting your body from the inside to the outside. But if you actually go and just have a harmonious talk to someone, if they've asked you, okay, mm-hmm. I do not go up to somebody unless I think it's a safety issue where I have a professional
yes.
responsibility.
Exactly.
I wouldn't go and be, yeah. But if the question was asked, and I'm in quite a good position where sometimes the questions do get asked, like I read or I heard or I've been doing. And to give mm-hmm. the person, if I'm going to sit there and contribute, then I have to give the person time. So I would be there. They can do the exercise and I can speak to them about what they're actually doing with their body so that they can feel it. And as long as they give me the respect back to say, yeah, okay, I feel it, or tell me to get stuffed. If they tell me to get stuffed, I'll walk away. Okay? But if then, mm-hmm. and to just understand the body and how the body functions. You know, it is a business of mine because it's actually, I call it a business because it's what I do with my life and it's what pays my bills.
Mm-hmm.
It's what contributes
yes.
to my family. It's my return. But it's about the community. It's about, I love the job. I was doing a much more higher return job than this. Now, it's just makes me feel happier more. So, but I'm well aware of, yes, this, that, and the other. It is very bloody hard, you know, KP, to talk to someone when they've got something from a well-known figure in an industry or a sport.
Yes, it is.
It takes a lot of convincing. And as you would possibly know, I'm very close to several professionals, and one I share my life with, I can't do that, Mark. We bodybuilders always do this. Now, I'm not jumping to another universe here, right? And I said, well, try
yeah.
it. Well, try it. Well, try it. Hey, that's not bad. You have to be patient with people.
Mm-hmm.
We all don't change overnight. So, again, it comes back to this planning. What can you achieve? I look at, like, even Tanaka. What can I achieve with Tanaka? I'm not going there right at the minute. So I ignore it, right? I won't
yeah.
bring it up because it won't have any benefit. But pick on those things that she can relate to at the moment that will move her. That will help support her. And when someone starts to get support, then they start to learn.
Yes.
Especially in that collaboration type of point of view, that this relationship is worthwhile. And like a marriage, sometimes things don't go right, then you bring it back on track. It's not a blame
yes.
culture. It's not this is right or that's right. Because,
great analogy.
You know, this is where addictions and stuff get spoken about and all this type of stuff. You know, I think you're asking a question about a good coach. A good coach is someone who's got two ears and one mouth, and that's the ratio. You listen to more than you speak because you've got to get
mm-hmm.
out of the person, their experience, their emotions, their thoughts, and then think about it and respond to it in the best professional way that fits or can relate to them.
True. Yes, sir. Now,
and it's like me
button.
Going.
No, go ahead, Mark.
No. It's like chronobiology, how somebody's body works or what's best for them. All of it, the biologically, it's very, very correct. But the trick then is to how, you know, what do you feel is going to benefit you the best? But I think this is going to benefit you the best. Shall we try this? Shall we not? What's your thoughts? Because you've got to get that buy-in. You've got to give them the understanding. You've got to give them the reason. You've got to give them the potential betterment from it. But then let them plan in a comfortable way, because what you're trying to do is encourage achievement, not non-achievement, which only brings negativity.
Well, the thing I was going to talk about now is there's one of our members at our gym, and they're very dedicated and diligent with what they do. But that's like the, you know, I remember in The Matrix, they had, when the lady was talking to Neo, and she said, you know, I sure hate giving good people bad news. And the treat they would do every, I think it's fifth day, is Pop-Tarts. They love that Pop-Tart because, you know, it was their little thing. And it, with the numbers, and she wasn't doing wrong with it, but there was something I was seeing that caused concern, and that was the swelling, the redness that would happen afterwards. And you know, like I said, I know many things. We call them food allergies, but they're not. They're basically just the toxins or the poisons used to get that growing to yield. And at some point, you know, this is causing harm to the body. And so I gave the information out because I said, you know, it's causing me more concern than I can bear, and I'd like to pass this information on. And, you know, she was very hurt because that was the one thing she had going. And it, like you said, with the patients, I had it because I'm thinking, you know, it's not worth your life. Even if you cuss me out, I'm okay with it because then you can cuss me out tomorrow and I don't have to come to your funeral the day after that. So, you know, I was willing to go that far just because, you know, when you're seeing that kind of immediate reaction within 3 to 5 minutes, I was very concerned. And in that process, like I said, realizing it's not a food allergy, but the reaction to the content that's being used to bring that grain to yield, all she had to do was go to a British manufactured Pop-Tart. You know, granted, it's not the name brand she liked, but she could still have that sweet for her time and still get back to normal. But this was a 5-month process, and I said, because I know it's not good, and sometimes, like you said, you've got to step in because your profession demands it. There's no way you can have the information you have and not share it to the people who need it most, and that was one of the things, because it would always be, and I know you hate this, and I said, I don't hate it. I said, but I hate what it's doing to you, and it would just become the point where, like you said, it does become a conversation, and after 5 months, there's the understanding that maybe, you know, he's not just being a jerk about it, wanting me to stop eating sweets. So have you had that happen in your life?
Yes, and it can happen, and I try to, I try to position things and structure things around the interface that I have with people. I don't walk through gyms. I do walk through gyms, but I don't walk through gyms as a place necessarily to practice, even though I have a lot of clients in there or people know me or Tanaka, so they will ask questions, sure. But I mainly structure myself, KP, where all of those type of conditions are spoke about on day one. All the analysis, all the measurements, all the body, all the family history, all the current type of stuff is spoke about on day one. So we have an open understanding as to the body as it sits today. And the person's volunteered this. They wanted the information because they want betterment. They do want an opening. It's very different. Most of my work is done at my house or over Skype or over Messenger, whatever, so that they plan their time. They're open for it. They have an expectation. Walking up to somebody in a gym that's doing something wrong might not necessarily be the best thing. I offer people to sit down. Tanaka has desks and that at the gym to sit down and just have a chat for 15 minutes because someone's got a concern or a mother said something about a daughter or a son or a son said something about the mother. I would give them a free consultation just to say hello, just to help, to be supportive. So, yes, it does happen, but I would look at it more as the reaction. You know, what is it doing to the body? But I'm very, very keen on making sure they have another solution, an alternative. This is a sweet thing, right? Mm-hmm. There's lots of sweet things like berries, antioxidants, anti-free free radicals that are great for your body after training, et cetera, especially for mesomorphs, that I can blend as a chef as well. Can blend and can offer somebody as an alternative, which is easy and convenient for them to have and still and still enjoy that social thing. It's not just about the tart. It's about that social thing. This is what we do as a group of people, you know, so that you're trying to protect as much as the environment, just enhance it through making a choice from an understanding. And 9 times out of 10, when people can admit, feel the reaction and the comparison of something else, then that those feelings are very strong for them to change. Yeah, go back to your pumping. True. There is no doubt that building up blood will make your muscle expand. But it's the same when you work with the bicep without the band.
Yes.
You're trying to see where you are now to improve on where you are, not to falsificate something. So it's good to get down to the physical facts and to deliver or to help deliver betterment so somebody can feel the betterment. That's the best thing, when they can feel it.
That's true. Now, with the health concerns, because like I said, you know, we have healthy-minded people to do better, but they don't have the mindset of, you know, because going to see a doctor isn't a bad thing. Going to get a health checkup is not, you know, saying that there's anything wrong with you or anything weak about you. But it's nice to get checkups every now and then. And the aversion that, you know, by somehow going hard and hardcore and beast mode and whatever hashtag or meme they have currently resounding now, right now, this day and age, it's still nice to know the foundation of where you're coming from. And, you know, the blood pressure, the cholesterol levels, these things need to be addressed before you decide to go this beast that you're seeing in your mind and hopefully trying to see in the mirror as well. Is that my little one? Is that the little one?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Oh, say hi.
Yeah, hi, Will. Mom's at the gym rehabbing someone, so Bella hasn't got school today, so she's at home with Dad.
Yeah, we don't mind special guests. We don't mind special guests.
Yeah, I think KP, again, it's looking at things individually. Let's maybe talk about a subject. Let's say protein.
Okay.
In the natural life, we as humans don't utilize a lot of protein. So we don't have a huge need for it, e.g. our follicles analysis, etc. I think mother's milk is one of the lowest contents of protein of any animal or living person's milk, a woman's breast milk, because there's other enzymes, et cetera, that help us to grow into structure and things like this. But when we bodybuild, we have a higher need for a more regular amino cycle. It also is not a thing that gets stored in our body. We take it, we use it. What's left goes to ketosis. A very little gets used in energy, maybe 10%. But what also happens is, and this is real life, let's say Tanaka, she is a mesomorph. Now, the mesomorphic gene is about motion. That's what it really means. So it's about your cartilages, your development of your tendons and all these type of things. So their body structures generally work very well on fatty acids. Okay, they need it.
Yeah.
Right? They need it to keep themselves supple and everything else like this, where an endo is more protein, but not all animal protein, and an ecto is more neurological, so it's more carbohydrate as a traditional. But in bodybuilding, we need a lot more protein. Now, I've been getting a lot of bodybuilders who are starting to get build-up of fats around their inner walls and in their arteries through acts from too much protein and not enough fiber or management of scraping that crap away from our. So they start to feel lethargic. They start to have tummy problems. They start to not work out so well because their diet is far too protein dense. And also they're eating far too much protein late at night after a gym session, going to rest in bed half an hour later, and the stuff isn't even digesting. They're not sleeping properly.
Not even.
There's toxins coming from the gut and all this type of thing. You know, it's just their foods are all ass about face. They don't have a structure or an understanding as to how them as an individual works. You know, a Kiyoshi Moody versus a KP versus a Justin Figuera, you're three very different people.
You better believe it.
With three very different lives. With, I can tell you, three very different work. They relate to each other, but you would all train differently and train different body parts on different days, have different requirements. So you need something tailored for you as a person, because you're not Justin Figuera and you're not Kyoshi Moody. So my point is that it's got to be individualized to support the person. How personalized health is about, actually, it's not about somebody else. It's about personalized health when we're talking about them. I hope I didn't go off the subject, but the thing is, I look at food for the purpose of the body and the body's function and the body's needs on an individual basis. So kale for one person is great, for another person, not offering much at all. Having lots of dark fruit, antioxidants that help us get rid of the toxins and the free radicals after training, it's very big on Tanaka's menu and intake after she trains, because it's what her body needs.
Yes.
Her body is more mobile, far more, does a lot more agility, even though leg presses aren't very, or squats aren't that agile as such, you know, as jumping, sprinting, whatever. But when she does that, we give her more, so it's very much tailored to the individual. And let's face it, you may have a colon issue or a stress issue at the same time. That needs to be addressed equally as much as the recovery from the gym. Because they all compound into each other. And it's just understanding how biologically we work, but how we're working at this precise minute, which, let's face it, we're trying to change. So foods and that could change with you as well. You get betterment going down the track, because you don't need something as much as you did previously to it. And we all need balance. Life is balance, really. Without going too much into the negative, but when we do drop into the negative, we don't go too deep. We can bring ourselves up. We have that know-how. We have that self-management, that self-control, self-ability to bring ourselves back.
That's some great information, Mark. And before you leave, is there anything left to pass on before we end the show? Because, boy, the show went by really fast.
You know, I think we maybe we've got to have another one, because we didn't go too deep into, by body type, what is the best food, what is the best methods of cooking, what is chronobiology, how does this relate to us? But I think the thing is the most fundamental thing is listen to yourself. Give yourself that time to just listen to your own body and how it's feeling. Great to get information from other sources and stuff like that, but it has to relate to you. Not everybody is the same, even if you are the same body type. Your muscles can be shaped different, your performances can be currently at a different level, etc., etc. And try to work on things that you know you can achieve, rather those things that are, you know, don't forget the things that you do need to change, but it's going to take longer, but position them likewise, so you're not putting too much of a burden or stress on yourself, and you're doing things, and you're learning. For some people, KP, learning that you can do it again. Because we all have dreams, we all have them. Just to realize that they're not out of our, but some things take time and take a course of movement that needs supporting and understanding to get us where we want to be. You don't make a world champion overnight.
Yeah,
it's a process.
And
it's just finding that process. It's finding what works and keeps them engaged and keeps yourself engaged by doing the things that are good for you. Yeah, try to have a look at things in your life that really don't benefit to you too much. And try to see if you can work on them, change them, get rid of them, replace them, you know. Another good thing was, remember that daylight hours were given to us, so we're active in daylight hours. Evening hours are for us to be tranquil, replenish from our day's work, prepare ourselves for a good night's rest. Don't eat too late. Don't eat foods that take a huge amount of digestion at night. Get them into your body. This is a food choice. It's not that you're going to deprive yourself from carbs, proteins, fiber. It's just a food choice, how we cook it. Make sure you don't try to go to bed with too much in your gut. Try to settle your mind before you do go to sleep. So planning for the next day, do it before you start to rest, so your mind is not overactive that's going to disturb. Because our bodies do a lot of balancing during the night, growth hormone being one of them. a golden thing for bodybuilders. It is a natural process of our body to identify the need to repair and to support that repair mechanism, hence how much growth hormone.
Right.
But if we're not sleeping, or we're disturbed, or we got a full tummy that's creating toxins left, right, and center going to our neurological senses, it distributes this cycle. To look after ourselves, a little bit more. We can go in detail as to how each body type can prepare for that, because there are differences, especially in the mornings and when best to train, but maybe we might not have the time for that now.
Oh, that's fine. Well, brother, we're definitely going to have you on in the future, because I love the way you break down the information, and so do our listeners. I didn't take any questions today because I wanted to get as much information out, especially with the confusion we have with all these gimmicks and infomercials. Marketing is marketing, but your health should be primary to it, and it's not a bad thing to say, you know, what is the benefit of it to me, for me, and what are the side effects that will happen from the things that you're trying to convince me to buy or put into my body or put on my body. Mark, thanks so much. I'm going to give you this time to speak to Dez. You know, she wanted to be on the show, but she's basically traveling today, and she had to get out there to her deceased family member and the rest of that family and be there for them and to support them. So anything you'd like to say to Dez and let her know that you're thinking about her?
She's a champion woman, huge giver, great personality. We need people like this in the world. We have people like this in the world. She's an example that we do have it. Great mother. She's just one hell of a nice person to know. Has comments, but doesn't have bad intentions for anybody. Real warm, soft, affectionate soul. Great family person, great community person. I mean, look at the radios she's doing and the information she's given. And I've listened to her a few times. You don't pick up information like that. She goes to the right sources. She's very knowledgeable. She's very cluey. She's aware of life. And I could imagine her now, she's going to be the one who's supporting all the other family members at this point in time, Kaelin, because that's
right.
Just the way she is. A great privilege to know the lady.
Exactly. And Dez, you know, you're getting all the hearts and the love from our listeners as well. And I thank God for all of you guys. Mark, thanks so much for the information and the time. And you are a joy to speak with, because I know I'm not just bouncing things off the wall. I know that what comes back is going to enrich my life as well as the listeners. So thank you so much for what you do, your passion, and how you go about it, and your ability to get through the tough people, the tough times, and the tough situations. You found a way, and if you can't find the way, you find the information that makes the way. And I really enjoy that, and I love everything about how you go about doing your life. So thanks so much, brother. Before we get cut off,
okay.
I'm going to end the show. But thanks so much, and I hope you have a blessed morning, just like we're going to have a blessed night. And again, Dez, my heart goes out to you and your family. Say hi to Mom, give her a big hug, but also hug your children, because we're in this current climate of anger and frustration. We have to let some things go, because when we keep getting fed bad information, we tend to do bad things. So, Mark, again, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks,
sure, brother. Yeah, to hug the husband, daughter, and to hug the wife, and tell them I said hi, and hopefully be talking to you soon, brother.
Thanks, KP, and thanks for everyone for their time and listening as well.
Amen to that. So, you know, guys, this is a show that the show happens, and we're going to say what we're going to say, but it's not basically stepping over Dez and what's happening with her family. We just want to just let everybody know that there's better ways to health, there's better ways to thinking, and there's better ways to improving yourself. And if we all just come together and speak our minds clearly and openly, we will come to some kind of compromise and some kind of understanding. So God be with you all. Have a blessed rest of your night. Kaelin Patterson, Midwest Office of P2P, Real Talk, for my PIC, Desiree, we are out.